This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
And I'm Sharad Kutin, with me Tan Chung Han, and we have the top business stories of the day. In our crosshairs, Han, don't we have Apple and Temasek that's joining up with Jack Ma to fund genomics businesses? And also we have a story from Japan. Apparently a Japan pension fund is plowing money into real estate.
All right, so we'll try to get through as many of those as possible. Let's start with Apple, though, you know, because, hey, you know, it's something many of us are familiar with.
Brand, it's a big brand, whether we actually own one or not.
Yeah, if not all of us. They have released their latest quarterly earnings, and revenues came in below expectations. iPhone sales, again, also falling below expectations. Some quick headline numbers here. Revenue came in at $52.9 billion versus a $53 billion expected by a Reuters poll. The number of iPhone units shipped out was 50.8 million versus the 52 million that's expected by FactSet. So, yeah, essentially, you've got those kind of numbers that were below market expectations, but the cash reserves, though, actually grew by $10 billion up to $256.8 billion. US dollars. So real quick, just to give you, you know, what does that number mean? According to my back of envelope calculations, that $256.8 billion US dollars, that can fund Malaysia's fiscal budget at 2017 levels for over 4 years. Wouldn't that be nice?
Well, that's substantial. Now, for the investing community, for the market, which is more important, this cash reserve or the reported earnings?
Well, I mean, a little bit of both. Okay, so let's start with the earnings right here. So you've got comments from Tim Cook, CEO, essentially saying that it's due to reports of that highly anticipated iPhone 8 and other product launches that is causing consumers all around the world to perhaps delay their purchases of iPhones. Hence, iPhone sales coming in below estimates for the first quarter of 2017.
You mean the fact that they are promising something great or something that's going to, kind of wow everybody means that people are saying, well, I'm not going to buy anything now. I'm just going to wait a little longer.
Yeah, I mean, it's only 6 months away, September, right? Because this year is the 10th anniversary of the iPhone. So many people are expecting, and borderline demanding that Apple comes out with something phenomenal, something huge, right? So, why buy something now? Why upgrade now versus, putting off that purchase until September?
I mean, is there something about the magic of Apple, I mean, in terms of a brand, that it's also a bit of a downside for them that they have to constantly develop, because Steve Jobs was such revolutionary in his approach and the kind of products he brought out, that Tim Cook too has to continually, be on the kind of running on the spot just to produce something that's going to wow the market?
Well, I guess it depends on who you ask. I am not your typical Apple fanboy, whereby no matter what Apple produces, they just wait in line for 2 days and just lap it up, at the earliest opportunity, right? But yes, there is this, there are these expectations that Apple has to deliver. Whether Tim Cook can or not, that's a whole different story. I guess we have to wait and find out towards the end of this year.
What we also know from the stories that are coming out is that Apple lost market share in China, which has been a major source of growth before last year. Apparently amid competition from local rivals.
Yeah, that's right. So those China challenges have been a persistent theme for Apple. And so, we are seeing that in the first quarter of this year as well. Now, I mean, I think it's very important as we go through these numbers and dissect what happened with Apple in the first quarter. It's important to note that there is this silver lining, so to speak, or at least markets and Wall Street are latching onto this one number, that being 300 million. That's apparently the number of iPhones that are due up for renewal by this year, and that's according to a venture capitalist, right? So you have that kind of, again, expectation that, hey, perhaps Apple could see that delayed earnings growth and even that bonanza, when iPhone 8 is actually launched this year.
Moving on down south, and as it were east, Temasek and Jack Jack Ma, they're backing a fund that's investing in genomics.
So I'll go into some of the details, some quick key details of this story real quick. So you got Yunfeng Capital, and that's a fund that's backed by Jack Ma of Alibaba fame. And then you've got Singapore's state-owned investment firm, Temasek Holdings. So they have gone into a funding round for a company called WuXi NextCode. All right, this company is in precision medicine. Essentially, they do genetic tests to uncover details or more about your genetics and rare conditions, etc. Now, why is this key? You know, because these kind of investments come after Temasek last year reported their worst showing since 2009. In other words, they need to find new and innovative ways to get returns on your investments. Okay, that's one. Now, if you zoom it out to the broader economy, you got Singapore. Then they are also trying to find new drivers of growth. Just recently, they launched a $1 billion Singapore dollar fund, called the Makara Innovation Fund, and essentially to do just that, to try to find investments or to try to find new ways to drive the Singapore economy. So these kind of developments are pretty interesting, considering that Singapore is our next door neighbor. Singapore, singular.
They remain our next door neighbor. Yeah. Just an interesting factoid. Aldous Huxley's 1932 novel Brave New World talks about splitting the zygote. It's all about genetics and eugenics, and they actually mentioned Singapore as one of those places where the zygote has been very successfully split, a gazillion times or something to that effect.
Right. And
to think that Aldous Huxley had some sense of what this city of Singapore might do in the future is quite amazing.
Well, and when we look at this fine specimen that is before me, being you, Sharad Kutan. I know this is radio, as you guys can't see this. So perhaps that is testament to those kind of engineering programs.
I didn't grow up in a test tube. Thank you very much. Now, okay, I know that this story, of course, goes back to the issue of growth and where Singapore thinks growth is going to be next, and the growth story in what is a global low growth scenario at the moment.
Well, you're expecting a rebound here. You've got China's first quarter GDP that came in pretty strong, but when you juxtapose that with what's happening in the US, GDP grew 0.7%. That was below some estimates there, so it's pretty much a wait and see now, especially when you compare and contrast what the two or the different paths or the apparent different paths that the U.S. and China, the world's two largest economy, are on. But if you bring it down to Singapore, they are still a trade-dependent nation. All right, 2/3 of their GDP is generated by external demand. If you look back over the last couple of years, Singapore actually narrowly avoided a technical recession on a couple of occasions. Right. So now, when you look ahead, though, Singapore is saying that they hope to achieve average annual growth of about 2-3%. How did they go about doing that, while mitigating the risks that they saw over the last couple of years with the slower global growth that you mentioned, Sharad? So it's these kind of new innovative ways.
Okay, talking about innovation, we know that Singapore was ranked 6th in Bloomberg's 2017 Innovation Index, ahead of the US and Israel. And this is very important because it must be the infrastructure, or the talent pool, or the ease in which talent can come to Singapore that makes it an excellent place to invest in research in something like genomics.
Right, and it's not just the talent pool, but it's also how they have gone about revising their tax and regulatory environment. Those have been attributed for the success that Singapore has enjoyed in the past. Although looking forward, though, companies in Singapore are bracing for potentially higher taxes, and a part of it is due to their move towards more green policies. A proposed carbon tax is apparently on the table. So you have those kind of movements as well. And also when you look at their reliance on foreign labor, according to some recent statistics from their central bank, they're actually showing a decline in their reliance on foreign labor. So it's been an interesting shift, so to speak, when you see how Singapore attempts to adjust itself to accommodate for their future plans.
What about Temasek itself in terms of its kind of investment behavior? Apart from this particular investment, where are they putting their money?
You're still looking at some pretty traditional drivers of growth, for example, be it banks. also telcos, you know, etc. Or but then you've also got some pretty interesting ones going down to, well, you got Amazon. So Tomasi took you know, some shares in Amazon back in February, apparently valued at $96 million. They invested in a Chinese bike sharing startup, you know, in February as well. You know, online budget hotel bookings, etc. So you've got again a lot more of this drive into the innovative and e-commerce and digital side of things, you know, in addition to their regular investments in more traditional drivers of growth.
Okay, we'll be back with more business news after this. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.